carpet day!
Huh?
No!
Dada speaks to you.
Bitch, are you for real?
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. We're all out of bubblegum.
He think he's bad, he ain't got no class. I'm gonna rock this shotgun up his motherfucking ass.
In 100 years, I'll have my revenge on your great-granddaughter.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
If you don't get me my money tonight, I'm gonna put that young girl of yours out on the horse door.
If you crave satisfaction, this is the place to find that action.
And tell him I want him out of here in 24 hours. And 23 of them are already gone.
Union, you can't pretend it didn't happen.
No, you're right. You're right.
Okay, I guess you're done talking then. Okay.
No, that's it. You started the thing. It's going. It's happening.
Yeah. I wish I could record when y'all it doesn't announce it so that y'all don't know, and then I'll record y'all saying some weird shit before the episode.
Like back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day. I recorded differently then. That back then I just recorded with my I just put the microphone next to the speaker and I just recorded that.
And I always thought you were just going for a retro sound quality. It just was that way. Cool.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Movie So Bad They're Good, Midnight Cold Classics in Camp. Coming back at you with another one. I'm Ian. And today is Christmas. Ho ho, Merry Christmas. Not right now while we're recording, but the time that this episode will come out will indeed come out on Christmas Day. So if you're listening to it and it happens to be Christmas, Merry Christmas. Today we're going to do a Christmas episode. Somebody to choose from. We already did the good one, which was Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. Where can you go from there? We did Christmas, Bloody Christmas. That was a fun one, too. But now, we decided to do a more recent movie, Fat Man, from 2020, starring the one and only action star, Mel Gibson. He is Santa Claus as an action movie Santa Claus. It's great. Walton Goggins is a hitman hired to kill him. You got the military taking control of the North Pole. Crazy shit is going on. Why is it a cult classic? I think it's because it bombed the box office. And over time, it may finally develop a cult following. We'll find out when we get into it. So let's get into it.
I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I've lost my influence. Maybe it's time I retired the coat.
You still have it.
Some kids with a deer rifle put two holes in the sleigh, one in me. All I have is a loathing for a world that's forgotten.
The United States military would like to procure your services.
This is a one-time deal, gentlemen. How are you, Mike? Nicole and the kids are well, I hope.
Where are you?
You just lost a big son!
What's the job?
I'd like you to kill Santa Claus.
I'm looking for the fat man.
You can't be serious.
This is what people actually think of me. Christmas is a farce. I am a joke.
What's the purpose of your visit?
Hunting. I'm going to kill some things.
There is a rising number of our youth making poor decisions.
about the big man's head?
Severed heads rot, they mold.
They don't want his beard?
I'm not shaving off a dead man's beard.
Your workers sure have healthy appetites.
That's why elves live much longer than humans.
And Chris, he does the same?
No, it's a giving that keeps him young.
I've come for your head, fat man!
Dashing through the snow, no one horse open sleigh.
You think you're the first?
All the fields we roam.
Think I got this job because I'm fat and jolly?
Nothing on the way. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, my friend is to ride on horse open sleigh.
Man's got his eye on you, kid.
Hey, whoa!
Oh, that's Donner. Lucky it wasn't Blitzer, should tear your package clean off.
All right. Let's see who's here. I got three people here. Three all long. Lasting people who've been here for many episodes. I'm just going to say your name and you say what up. Aaron's here.
What's up, jingle sluts?
Ryan's here.
What up?
Daniel's here.
What up?
What up? All right, thanks, guys. How are y'all doing? How's Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yeah. What would y'all say that this would be a pretty good Christmas movie?
Ian, I fucking love this movie.
Nice, nice. Daniel, you're chuckling over there. Would you agree?
I'm gonna put it on the list of movies that I would like to watch during Christmas. Don't believe I'll be bringing this to my, to my parents' house for the festivities, but that's fine.
Okay, interesting. I am going to, I mean, you know, like I said, we're not recording on Christmas, but Christmas is in a couple of days, and I'm going to go to Aaron's house, who happens to be my brother-in-law, with his sister, who happens to be my wife, and y'all's father. Would you say that this is a family Christmas movie, Aaron, for all of us to watch together?
You know what? I would say it's an okay movie to watch. I think Amy would probably not dig it.
Yeah, probably not. I don't think she would.
I'm gonna do a quick challenge to this real quick. Just as a fun thing, just to hear from you guys, you can answer yes or no to three different words for it. Kid friendly. You guys really have to question whether this is kid friendly or not? No.
Well, with today's kids, you just don't know.
Yeah.
I guess the obvious answer is no.
I think I would have been all over it when I was a kid. I think that this would definitely be a young Ian movie for sure.
This would be a Ryan Loves Lethal Weapon movies. Yes.
You guys have very different parents than I do. Heartwarming. How does that? Yes or no? Heartwarming.
A little bit. A little yes. bit. Yeah. Yes.
I'm gonna go with no. I don't think my heart was very warmed by this film.
Mel Gibson definitely warmed my heart with this movie. But just him and Marion Jean-Baptiste. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. What a great Mrs. Santa Claus.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or Ruth.
She,
Ruth Kringle.
Yes. She was the best in this
she
movie.
She was fantastic. She, yeah. Dude, that whole thing where she just, like, he's feeling down and she, like, goes through this whole, like, monologue about, you know, we cheer each other up, you know, we help each other out.
So the idea,
out.
So the idea that I just watched a marathon of all the Lethal Weapons, and then for Ian to demand that I see this movie, was like, this is a sequel to Lethal Weapon that I needed. And it was very heartwarming for me because it wasn't the Tim Allen Santa Claus, and it also wasn't the homicidal Santa Claus I've seen with all the Silent Night, Deadly Night movies.
Right.
So to see a very crusty Kris Kringle was kind of breathtaking for me.
Breathtaking. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Okay.
As an adult, to see how Santa Claus is just overwhelmed and just tired of what he was doing.
Yeah, yeah, he's like, yeah, very, yeah, like you said, Lethal Weapon. Like, he's like, the last Lethal Weapon we saw, Lethal Weapon 4, you know, usually it's Danny Glover's line, I'm getting too old for this shit. But in Lethal Weapon 4, Mel Gibson joins him, and like, we're too old for this shit. And in this one, Santa Claus is very much like, I'm getting too old for this shit. He didn't say that, but that was basically the point of everything that he said throughout
this entire movie. Almost felt like this movie was an homage to like a Lethal Weapon / Home Alone.
A little bit. Specific
to this movie.
A little bit.
In the opposite of, instead of the protagonist being on the defense and the antagonist business as usual, it was the protagonist, which was business as usual, and the antagonist was on the offense.
Yeah. Yeah. Walter Goggins was pretty good too.
Walter Goggins was amazing as a hitman.
Tell me one thing Walton Goggins hasn't been spectacular in.
Yeah. I can't.
The dude doesn't. The dude does not miss.
Even in the first movie I've ever seen him in, which might have been his first movie at all, what's it called? A House of a Thousand Corpses, where he's barely even in it at all. Yeah, what I'm saying, before you interrupt, he was barely in it at all. Barely had like a couple lines and still fucking killed it.
He was in The Crow Salvation, which is the fourth
Crow movie. Oh, really? He was in that fucking movie? I haven't seen that since high school.
The third Crow movie with Kirsten Dunst and Walter Goggins. Yeah, he was in that.
Yeah. It's Walton, by the way.
Ooh. Walter.
Walton.
Walton.
Oh, son of a bitch.
So, Aaron, you said that it's not like a great movie for the family. How do you take it as just you, just a guy watching this movie around Christmas time?
You know, there's a couple things I have to put aside. I really dislike that Mel Gibson is in this film at all. I think that he actually does a decent job at it. But I do think that Mel Gibson is a piece of shit.
That's fair.
Getting outside of that, though, like, I found this movie interesting because I think there's this, like, this real kind of background ideology of, like, kind of the death of Christmas. You know, like, everything that's dragging him down, like, kids aren't as good, they're not producing as many toys, like, you know, obviously Walton Goggins is the antagonist as the hitman, but he's really just, like, the instrument of Billy Weenan. I think that's Chance Hurstfield, who I don't really know from anything else, but he's the fucking snot-nosed kid that puts the hit on him.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're looking at, is like, this is like more representative of like today's children. So like, I don't know, there was like a little bit of a capitalism kind of thing in there about, you know, what it takes to keep a factory going. And
yeah, it's like kind of like a
contracts.
It's kind of like he's a blue collar kind of conservative type guy.
Yeah, it kind of felt like Santa was facing two types of death. There's like the existential crisis of like, are we going to be able to continue this operation? And then there's an actual physical existential crisis, in that there's a hitman trying to take his life. And it's, you know, kind of ultimately it's the kids that are killing Santa, because they've reduced by being naughtier. There's less toy production, which puts them in a jam with the government. And then, you know, obviously he orders the hit on Santa. So he's like literally trying, like a kid is literally trying to kill Santa.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Yeah. I really like that idea. It's interesting of how like the entire like North Pole, which is actually in Canada, the entire like Santa's workshop, the economics works around how many toys they produce, which depends on how many kids are on the good list and naughty list, and when there's too many naughty kids, they can't make enough toys, so they can't make enough money to afford to like keep on going. So it's really interesting. That way,
it's something that's never really been done before in the Santa Claus lore, which is interesting.
Now, there are movies like Elf, which is like kind of it's the same kind of idea, but a complete opposite way of going about it. Whereas, like, same thing, like Santa's not working out, like, he's kind of fading because like, but in this one it's because nobody believes in him, so like he's losing his magic and like people have to like believe in him again in order to like get his sleigh flying again. And in this one it's more like kind of, I guess it's less magical and more realistic, even though there is still a lot of magic in
but what can you really say about this movie, especially looking at the movie tag of it? You would think it's just like, okay, John Wick and all these movies have came out and there's Santa Claus with a gun. We have Santa Claus who may be a former CIA or assassin, but no, that's really not the case.
Yeah, he's still just the jolly old Santa. One of the grittiest
Santas I've ever seen. Probably second to the bad Santa from, I don't know if y'all ever saw Happy on Netflix.
Oh my God, I love that.
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh man, Ian, check it out. You'll love it.
All right.
It's sci-fi exclusive. Please check it out.
And there's a few like action movies, Santa movies coming out lately. Like last year we had, was it Violent Night that came out last year?
We had Violent Night that came out last night. Which is like Silent Night. Hard
Christmas. Yeah, now there's Silent Night. Yeah.
Which Deadly is the Night. Guy from the new Suicide Squad with James Gunn.
Yeah. And then there's Christmas Bloody Christmas, which came out last year.
Which I heard was amazing.
Yeah, that one is Santa is a Terminator. It's like a Terminator, like Mall Santa machine that's just on a killing spree.
Oh, that's the one that I'm thinking of. That's, I watched that last year.
It's pretty fun, right?
Yeah, it's a little contrived, but that's because of years of horror movies, and it just hits everything with that. But that's okay.
Yeah. That one's nothing special. We covered it on this podcast last year because it was because the director has like kind of a cult following, and it's not his best movie. He's done some really great movies. This one not so much. But also it is kind of in the so bad is good camp. Like I was saying about this one, Fat Man. There's definitely some camp in there. Like, there's some campy moments. There's some kind of cheesy dialogue. Mostly, it's pretty well made. And like I was saying, it bombed the box office, so it kind of, like, disappeared. But enough people found it. Do you guys think that this, in, like, 10 to 20 years, we'll still be talking about it?
Yeah.
No.
I'll get into it a little bit later, like especially when we get into like how you'd redo this film, but I think that it's like, to me, this is a decent flick, and it's got this unique premise to it and like this kind of deal, but like, I don't know, for some reason it didn't stand out to me as something like overly like well done. I felt like there was different directions they could have taken it, but they sort of went middle of the road with it for me to like keep it from being like, it's not bad enough to be a bad movie. And I don't think it's like gripping enough to be a cult classic, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, I think we all agree that Mel Gibson sucks as a person. I think that we also all agree that he really did kind of knock this role out of the park. Like, he did really well. Do you think that just him being in the movie hurt his chances? Like, people saw, oh, Mel Gibson, oh, fuck this.
And that yes. I think it absolutely did.
Especially for a Christmas movie?
But not only that, like, seeing him in the title card, especially if you have Peacock, that's the first thing you see him is with a gun, gives you the idea of, like, a John Wick with Santa Claus. Let's be honest.
Yeah. When I first heard about it, like, I was like, yeah, fuck Mel Gibson, but this does look pretty fucking tight. As, like, I'm a big, like, 90s action movie guy. And,
there was a time when Mel Gibson was the man, but I feel like, I don't know, man. I wish they had chosen someone different for this role.
Who do you think? I feel
like they were also trying to do some damage control with it a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, with Marion Jean-Baptiste as his wife, like, I don't know. I felt like they were going, like, for this, like, hey, look at Mel Gibson. He's not such a bad guy. He's got a black wife. And he loves her.
Yeah, the moments with them together are, like, so fucking wholesome.
I guess for me, it doesn't really help that I just watched Lethal Weapon 1 through 4 in a marathon, then watched this movie and was just like, oh, I'm on board.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, like, a 90s action movie. So, for that, like, I'm all about it, and I enjoy it for that reason.
It was the very idea that this was not so far left what being a Tim Allen Santa Claus, and it wasn't like a homicidal maniac type Santa Claus, where I was like, okay, I have this feeling this is a John Wick CIA assassin Santa Claus, but it wasn't. This was a I'm old, I'm decrepit, I'm crusty.
Yeah, I'll be Santa. The plot is great. Yeah.
This is like the working man Santa Claus. The plot is
amazing. And Marion Jean-Baptiste is wonderful. In the role of Mrs. Kringle.
Right. Yeah, no, she's definitely great.
And that 12-year-old kid is so fucking hateful. So hateful.
And also, like, 90s action movies, he's a great antagonist, as in he's just evil just for no reason. You know, just to be evil.
Whoa. His dad's not around, guys.
Daniel,
I knew you were going to do that. I knew it.
That was Aaron.
That was me, man.
Oh. hey, Daniel, can we still be friends?
I don't know, man. You said some hateful stuff today, but that's all right. We're going to work on it.
But yeah, anyway, yeah, he's just, it's like, you know, like, yeah, villains back then were just evil just to be evil, and it was fun. And then, like, I mean, like, don't get me wrong, character development and having, like, a reason and, like, you know, following a villain and finding out why, like, what their motives are, that's great too. But for, like, just a fun, just action flick, it's fun that he's just, like, unnecessarily evil just for the fuck of it. And I kind of like it when movies go back to that every once in a while. I mean, like, for the most part, motivation and character development is much better. But a movie like this, it works, I think. Do you guys agree?
I feel like this movie was like a reverse Home Alone, where instead of the protagonist being on the defense and the bad guys being like business as usual, we had the protagonist is business as usual, but the antagonist is on the offense.
Right.
You've
pretty much just been repeating yourself a few times.
I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, I got you.
No, I think the argument could be made that Walton Goggins was business as usual in his own way, right? Like, I think what I like about this, like, you call it an action movie, and I don't disagree, especially like the last minutes of it, but it's like the slow burn, right? Like, there's just like a lot of setup to it. Like, obviously, Kris Kringle's going through his whole, like, just normal life, like completely oblivious to what's going on until Skinny Man hits the compound and like all hell breaks loose. I don't know, man. Like, not your typical action movie, I would say, because like you gotta wait, but then there's like a massive release of action.
And yeah, the action scenes are pretty like spot on too. And that's where it's like not hokey. It's kind of like the action scenes are more like along the lines of your more recent action movies, like, it stopped getting campy at that point.
That's one of the reasons I don't see this as being, like, a cult classic, is, like, they weren't being hokey, or, like, they didn't really take an angle with it. Like, they were being very earnest about, like, this movie and what it was trying to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like everybody besides all of North Peak in Canada with Mel Gibson and his wife, everybody really seemed to unlikable. Even like the kid, even his grandma, which you feel some kind of sympathy, but she's really unlikable once she goes off in her phone conversation. It's just like, all right, it's really easy for me to unlike like everybody that's really involved. Even the U.S. Army, they're unlikable.
Well, yeah, because it's the U.S. Army.
Well, they're trying to change the elf's diet. It's bullshit.
As a Marine, the Army's unlikable.
So, Aaron, you were talking about, like, you didn't like Mel Gibson being in this. Who do you think would have probably... Who should have been Kris Kringle?
Man, I don't know, because, like... I do have to give Mel Gibson the credit that he did a good job in this movie. I just personally dislike him. So it's hard to say like, oh, so-and-so would have done better. It's just more of like, I would have liked this movie, I think, better if there was somebody. And like, I guess, I don't even know, like Bruce Willis can't talk anymore, but like maybe like another grizzled old action hero would have been good. I'm trying to think of like, dude, you know who I would also liked is the guy from Stranger Things. I think he's the one that's
David Harbour, right?
Yeah, he's in Violent Night, yeah.
Yeah, like that kind of, because really at the end of the day, you've got this Santa who's like really kind of, you know, with his operation, he's like an old farmer about to lose the family farm, you know what I mean? Like that kind of downtrodden shit.
My guess would have been Stephen Lynch.
Who's that again? Will it come out?
The guy from what is it? Don't Speak, and that veteran movie with him and William Sadler.
Okay. Right. The guy, was he in VFW?
Yep, that's
okay. One. That yeah. Well, he's not. I mean, Mel Gibson isn't fat, but that guy is definitely not fat.
I think my answer, I'm going to switch it. It might be Mickey Rourke. Like, Mickey Rourke.
He's not fat, but he's just ugly as fuck.
Yeah, well, Mel Gibson's not really fat in this movie either. Like, Fat Man is really just an old man.
Yeah, that's my problem with this movie, is they kept calling him, like, it's the name of the movie, but they kept referring to him as Fat Man and calling him fat, like, way too many times. And it was like, kind of like beating a dead horse. You know?
Yeah.
It's like over and over again. They kept reminding us that he's fat, and he's not even fat. It's like, what the fuck?
Well, there's even that part where he takes umbrage to it in the movie. He was like, you see what they've made me? Like, jolly and fat. Like, that's not me.
Yeah, you think I've lived this long because I'm fat and jolly? it's like they keep doing that, and he's not even jolly either. Not one part of this movie is he jolly.
He perked up a little bit after he got his sex from Mrs. Claus.
I think the only downside of this movie is Mrs. Claus should have been played by Danny Glover.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's pretty good. That's a good one. He comes into bed with the bullet hole, and Mrs. Claus is like, "Damn, what happened?" And it's like, "Oh, I got shot. Man, I'm getting too old for this shit."
The only problem with that is this movie did not have enough saxophone to register for this movie. And not one appearance by Jet Li.
I mean, he's or Joe Pesci.
Exactly, who at this point would have been like not even a PI, but
Leo, Leo Getz. Yeah, he would have been an elf for sure, 100%,
or at least a postal worker who knows nothing.
Oh yeah,
because Leo seems to know nothing.
What are you talking about? Leo knows everything.
Well, according to him, he does not.
So let's get into scenes and stuff. So what did work, Aaron, for you? Like what
you know, like, one come of the away, things, like, really enjoyed? One of the things I liked about this movie was how they did Santa's magic. It wasn't over the top, it wasn't corny, but like, you know, there's like the fact that he knows who everyone is and he knows like all of their bad deeds,
right? So someone, yeah,
someone be like, "Hey, nice to meet you." And he's like, "I know you, Paul." He's like, "You had a rough couple of years there, but you made it through."
Oh, yeah, he said something. What did he say? He said something like kind of fucked up, like it was things were kind of touch and go for a couple of years.
He makes that comment. So like there's that, you know, there's the elves that are actually elves. They eat candy, they sleep for 20 minutes every 8 hours, you know, like just these like very like subtle things that they did, like not over the top. Obviously there's Santa's incredible regenerative skills.
That's pretty new.
Yeah. Because, I mean, he took multiple bullets in this movie. Like, you know, like, that's that when he gets shot on his actual Christmas run and then it, like, heals the next day. Like, that, I thought that, like, nicely set up the fact that he's able to take a headshot later in the movie, you know? So I thought that worked out pretty well. You know, as I mentioned earlier, Walton Goggins is a smash choice. I thought everything that he did was really good in this movie. And they did a good job with the kid. They made him a real shit heel. You know what I mean? Like the whole thing with the science fair and all that jazz. Yeah. So, like, it's really not a bad movie. It's really not. Once again, I'm not giving it cult status in my book, but there was stuff that worked here.
Yeah.
Especially hating that little kid when the movie wanted you to really hate him. Because the whole time I'm like, that fucking little prick little shit, and all of a sudden on the phone it said little shit. I'm like, yeah, okay, it's listening to me.
It's definitely self-aware with that for sure, which is fun. You mentioned the thing about like he knows who everybody is. Like I love that scene where he goes into the bar and the bartender's just like, "Oh, hey Chris, what you want, your usual?" So he's like an alcoholic just going to the bar, and then he talks to the guy and he's like, "Hey, how are the wife and kids?" Like, "Do I know you?" It's like, "Yeah, like I know that you got a wife and everything, so if you leave now you can go spend Christmas with them." And shit.
Yeah, he's just like, Santa's just a cock blocker is what it is.
that's what she says when she comes back. She's like, "How come every time I'm about to get laid, you show up?" and then they disappear.
Only Santa gets to fuck.
It's a very realistic look on what it's like to be Kris Kringle every year.
Yeah. Daniel, how about you? What's some parts that you like?
I mean, you actually called it out perfectly. My favorite is still the kid. Just because of the fact that they give you just enough reason to hate him, but they keep pulling you back to reasons that you want to try to like him and take those away from you. The kid seems just regular awful in the beginning, but you realize later that his grandmother is a piece of shit. His dad's a total piece of shit. His dad doesn't care for him at all. He doesn't have any... He's not in touch with what his son actually wants. And so when his son receives things like the big teddy bear in the mail instead of his dad coming by, like, he actually wants something cool. His dad just doesn't even know what age he is. And he starts acting up and just acting like a total piece of shit asshole. And I love that. But you guys all touched on some really important stuff that I like. I love the world building. I love the ancillary characters and all the little quirks to them, like the bartender that absolutely gets cock-blocked every single time. That was a perfect scene to bring up because it shows that magic that Ryan was talking about that's, like, real subtle, but, like, it's still going on. Like, he knows all that stuff, so he knows exactly how to cock-block her. Of like, hey, man, you don't have to cheat tonight, you know? You still got time. So he pulls on that guy's heartstrings and turns him around, and that's how Santa can get the only work done that he can anymore. He hangs out at a sleazy bar. He gets drunk himself. He does that. He goes home to his wife. He talks to his elves that are all older than middle-aged, toughing it out, little...
why I remind you that Daniel is the Walter Goggins to my Mel Gibson for here.
It's Walter Goggins.
That's what I just said.
No, you definitely said Walter.
It's not Walter?
No, Walton Goggins. He's got a real weird name.
God damn it! See, this is why Daniel and I are enemies.
But I totally
agree with Daniel's saying.
Yeah. And even Slim Man there, the hitman that the kid calls, like, I like how his character goes, and I think everyone acts their parts really well, which is exactly why I think it's a shame that Mel Gibson isn't a lovable actor anymore. And he's not a hateable actor. He's just sort of like, I don't want to see him and stuff. Because the characters were fine and his acting was fine, but that was a part that messed me up a little bit. It's just like, I just don't want to see him and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really shot himself in the foot with his actions and everything, and just went into, like, that level where it's like, you know what, I don't really care if you're good or not. I just don't want to see you in things anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just acted like a child. He really did
hurt this movie. Which I think was the whole point of him being in the movie, so people could be like, oh, hey, remember Mel Gibson? Oh, yeah, he's an action hero. Yeah, but...
Yeah, but you could have done that with John Travolta or, just as far as terrible people that are still castable in movies, like, John Travolta's high up there.
Well, it just wasn't what...
There's too many... There's too many bad children. Oh my god!
Or Nicolas Cage or any of these other guys. It's like, I'm gonna turn around my action movie career.
That's the best one I've heard so far.
Yeah,
Nicolas Cage. Well,
of course he would have. He doesn't turn down roles. You know this.
Yeah, true. Yeah, damn, Nicolas Cage. He would have been good. Yeah,
he still hasn't done a Christmas movie to my knowledge, and I really want to see him in one. But that's not Violent Night in specific, but it's probably going to show up later in the later in one other segment when we're talking about movies.
Billy Bob Thornton was really good in Bad Santa.
He would be, like, an okay choice for this too.
Yeah, because they're similar characters.
Yeah, I don't think he's lovable enough.
Yeah. But, yeah, so the thing with the bartender, I don't think he's actually trying to cock-block the bartender. He's just trying to, like, save the family of the guy and stop the guy from trying to cheat.
Absolutely.
It's not a I don't think it's both. I don't think it's a personal thing to the bartender. It's like if there was a single guy who came in there, he would have been okay with it. But single guys don't go in there. So
no.
That's just a thing.
No.
She needs to work at another bar.
And
no.
He knew that. He would do that to anybody.
When she was a little girl, so yeah, he did cockblock that bartender.
Oh, he's been one of the things like I remember when she was a little girl, so she's still a little girl.
Exactly.
Me.
That's the first thing he opened up with.
We all protect, like fucking Scarface. By the way, Al Pacino as Santa Claus.
That's the worst casting choice that I've heard yet.
No, it's not. No, it's
who's
not.
Worse? Who's worse?
The Fat Man's got an eye on you. I'm going to try to just imitate everybody. Just do a poor imitation.
I do want like an over-the-top Al Pacino-y Pacino to just try and do. You got to shut down the production? Hoo-ah!
Yeah.
I can't believe we're doing the Santa Claus.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, like especially Al Pacino from like Heat. Like that version would be good.
How dare you? This would have been an excellent movie. How dare you?
Anyway.
I do appreciate the fact that the elves were kind of like the elves from the Tim Allen Santa Claus, where they're just like, oh yeah, we run on fucking sugar. We're good.
Yeah, Elf did that too.
And the U.S. Army was just like, what the fuck are you doing? Seriously. They're like, we're good. We eat nothing but fucking sugar and chocolate and all that shit. And they're good.
Yeah. That's why they live longer.
That's why not a single fucking elf died in that movie.
Yeah. That's true. None of the elves, they made sure that none of the elves would die.
The U.S. Army in this movie, so useless.
Whole bunch of fucking losers. So here's the thing. I listened to another podcast, and this other podcast claimed that this movie was actually funded by the military. And
It's weird, but at the same time, not by the U.S. Army, because they sucked in this fucking movie.
And the thing is, I don't think that's true, because it definitely makes the military look bad in this movie. And
very bad.
I looked it up online, and I can't find a fucking thing about it. So that other podcast lied to me. So
I mean,
I'm
if that's the case,
out.
I mean, if that's the case, the U.S. Army in this movie is terrible. And I'm not just saying it as a veteran myself. But at the same time, the army is terrible in this movie. In
tell
all
us
ways.
How you really feel.
Okay. The army is atrocious. is terrible. All their guys is terrible and not in regulation. They're terrible.
Yeah.
They suck as far as combat. They suck as far as everything in this movie except for that one captain who's an asshole.
Yeah, I like how he's like, damn, he likes everything. Like, he's like, damn, this is a great way to, like, to, you know, work a crew. And like, all he sees is like slave labor. That's basically what's going on. And he's like, I love this.
Yeah, he's like, are you not going to eat like the four food groups? And the elf is like, man, fuck you. I'm like, cool. I'm on board. And my wife is just like, I fucking hate this movie. I'm like, shut up. I'm a hit play. Thank
why,
you.
Why did your wife hate this movie?
Well, other than the fact that she hates Mel Gibson, she hates the idea of him being Santa Claus and just the idea. She's like, this is pretty irresponsible, the fact that some kid wants to kill Santa Claus. And I'm like,
irresponsible? What?
Hey, man. Yeah. I'm married to that.
But what does that mean here? Like, what? Why does she say that?
Because there's no adult for this kid. And, hey, man, I can't really explain why she hates so bad this good movies and why I love it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, as near as possible, I'll leave a kid alone, especially if he's a millionaire.
Yeah, so I'm just like, hey, just go outside and let me watch this movie.
What were things that we didn't like about this movie, other than Mel Gibson and the military?
Everybody else in this movie, besides the village people, everybody else is very unlikable.
Okay, yeah, you mentioned that earlier. Daniel, how about you? What don't you like about this movie?
I wanted to see more elves. I know that's kind of weird, but I just kind of liked it.
Daniel, there was a 1,000 elves. God damn it.
I just thought that they were interesting because they're very happy with their little worker lives. And you could tell from the way that they spoke with like the people in the military that they don't understand the military's organization versus their own. Like, well, we're going to do it this way. And I know that it's not a topic that's brought up in this movie, but you see it brought up a lot of times when people talk about elves as being workers and being abused and stuff like that. But like, I feel like these elves would be super duper anti-union because they're like the epitome of like, yo, we do this job. It's the only job we do. It's the only job we care about. We don't need very much. We're just happy doing it. And they're just like happy these little
slaves.
Yeah, but like I was like, I kind of want to see a little bit more of how they've transitioned doing all of this. Like, it's really interesting to me that they're like, no, we back Santa. Like, well, why do you back him? Like, yo, yeah, he's the best man.
What's their motivation?
Yeah, but it got totally lost in it. And I thought that it was really cool that like most of the town just like they just kind of accept that he is a part of them without any real question, even though there's definitely stuff that's off about it. Like, there's some sort of disconnect going on there. And if it was his magic, I wouldn't have minded an explanation that said, like, oh, yeah, my life is set up specifically, like, with this very light shroud of confusion around the people near me. I would have liked to know a little bit more about Walton Goggins' character too. Slim Man was not explained at all. I know that you guys mentioned that was something that you like a little bit about him, evil for evil's sake, but I mixed them up a little bit because of the weirdness of this movie.
We find out a little bit, like, so he's collecting all these things and he keeps saying like, I never got what I wanted for Christmas. And then, throughout most of the movie, we just know that Santa Claus never gave him anything.
Walton Goggins' character represents, I guess, every kid who feels like they got any type of, like, coal in their stockings or didn't get what they want. In a way, I can understand the severity of someone who is in the spirit of Christmas who takes it kind of far than what it really needs to be.
See, we're going back to the kid for that. What I was saying, Ryan, was that he never got what he wanted until the very end, and then we find out he shows a little toy car, and he's like, that's the only thing he ever got from him.
Isn't that kind of mentioned every time he looks at the car or he takes the car out of his glass case that he didn't get what he wanted?
Well, you kind of put it together, but I guess, like, for me, I thought the coolest thing about that, like, so he got gets the one toy from Santa when he was a kid, which is a police car. And there's those scenes where Santa's like going through old letters where it's like, some little girl got a fire truck when she was young and now she's a firefighter, and someone else got like a cooking center, now he's a chef. So I thought it was like very interesting to me that it was like he got a cop car, but now look at him, he's like on the other side of the law, he's a hitman.
I didn't notice that, but that's a really cool detail.
Yeah. Well, what I got from it was like when he finally confronts him and Kris Kringle says, you know, I couldn't bring your parents back. Or I couldn't replace your parents. And what I got was the one wish that he really wanted was that he wanted to replace his parents. I don't know if he lost his parents or if he just didn't like his parents. And wanted to
I just think that he didn't like his parents because his father was a piece of shit.
Right. Which isn't explained at all.
Yeah, it was Mel Gibson.
What are you talking about?
I just like Mel Gibson in this movie. Come on, man. Give it a good rating. Come on.
I was going to say, though, Ian, you actually, you kind of opened my eyes to how that worked there with that, though, is that his connection to that horrible bratty kid actually could have something to do with that, which is something that I wanted explained a little bit more. But with him wanting to replace his parents and then him taking care of that kid, even though he's a little shit and all of that, he's acting kind of like a really crappy uncle that goes in and like, oh, your kid gets bullied at school? I'm gonna go break his arm or steal his stuff or punch his parents in the face.
He does shit that he's hired to do, though.
Oh, yeah, I guess, yeah. I was trying to jump to conclusions.
I mean, I appreciate you, like, giving me that credit, but I don't think that...
You don't think it's fair? All right.
But what Aaron said was pretty good. Like, I didn't get that thing with, like maybe he wanted to be a cop, too. Yeah. There's definitely, like, a lot of stuff on here that's, like, really subtle, which is cool.
I interpret it as despite what Walton Goggins' character was going through, that Mel Gibson's character thought that that's what he should have been, but Goggins' character rejected that idea because of what was going on.
So he didn't want to be a cop.
Right. That's why he always had the cop car and nothing else.
Okay. I think it goes back to kind of what Daniel's saying is like it would be cool if they had done more background exposition on Skinny Man.
Yeah, now I'm feeling confused and I'm like, okay, yeah, no, I think I was a little right and like this is why I'm frustrated with it a little.
I wouldn't be surprised a little more. If there's like a bunch of deleted scenes.
Maybe.
That explain the shit. And but I do like the subtlety though. Like, I do like that we don't really know his motivation until the very end. And he's like, Kris Kringle says, you know, I couldn't replace your parents. And like, that just like kind of like changed everything once he said that. It's like, oh, he wanted to replace his parents. You know?
It's possible he might have expressed that in a letter to him. That is possible.
Yes. Absolutely. All right. Anything else you all want to talk about this movie? Anybody have anything else?
Nope.
Yeah. All right. Well, so, okay. Actually, let me bring up this. Back to Skinny Man's motivation.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
What I don't get is that he clearly has a vendetta for Santa or Kris Kringle. They never call him Santa Claus. Not once in this movie is he called Santa. He's always Kris Kringle or Fat Man. So Skinny Man, he wants to, like, okay, so he's a hitman, right? He works only under contract. Little shit calls him, hires him to assassinate Kris Kringle, in which he is more than happy to do. And it's actually a personal thing for him. Like, he's actually, like, happy about this. And, not only is it, like, a paid job, but it's a personal thing, and he's actually like going on his own vendetta. My question is, why, if he was so eager to kill Kris Kringle, why didn't he just already do it before? Why did he wait till he actually got, the hired for it? Like, he could have just done it himself, and it would have been the same.
I feel like he was such a great hitman that he only exploded it when it hand on his plate.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I guess yeah, some hitmen.
There's kind of like a twin motivation going on between, like, there's a contract, and then he's clearly got some personal vendetta, like with his toy collection and, you know, like all that jazz. So I feel like, once again, that is something that could have been better explored in the movie, just to like understand it a little bit better.
Right.
I feel like he was taking any job that really came his way, even before Krusty Kris Kringle ended up on his plate.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Even with the that really proved me with the little girl that the 12-year-old was feuding with.
I like that whole thing. Like, it's just because she beat him in the science fair, and he's never lost a science fair, so he's just gonna like torture her.
Well, based on the only love that he got, which is his grandmother, I can absolutely understand that. And that's where I was like feeling a little rough for him. Like, sure, he's really fucked up, but he doesn't have anybody who's caring for him that really has their wits about him. He takes care of his grandmother, and his grandmother is putting this pressure on him. Like, you're going to bring home another gold, right? And then he goes back and he brings home a bronze. Like, he feels personally shamed by the only person that pays attention to him.
And it could even be that he feels like if he gets the best of show, that maybe like his dad will recognize him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, his grandmother was like, bring the blue.
Bring home the blue.
Even her grandma was somewhat likable, then unlikable when she started bitching on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But to be fair, how much does getting a hitman to kill Santa cost you? Someone who will take you seriously and not just be like, oh, that's crazy. Like,
someone who is faking these signatures on checks.
Yeah, and then he's just gonna go kill his grandma after that.
Probably. That's the only reasonable follow up.
No, not probably. He was about to
fentanyl lace the milk there.
Yeah, yeah. That's been
fentanyl.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it didn't happen, but he will definitely go back to it again.
If he's not, because now he's been threatened.
Do you think Santa got a real good buzz off that milk?
Yeah, right?
I mean, not when he got shot in the fucking eye. No.
I bet that made it feel a lot better though.
It's drinking fentanyl.
Don't chug.
I mean, surprised Mel Gibson wasn't calling like old girlfriends drinking
calling
that.
Calling his wife to yell about her fake tits.
or calling
God,
like, are we doing Lethal Weapon 5?
It's the only real question to ask.
I mean, yeah,
I got my eye on you. I'm like, is he talking to Danny Glover with that?
yes he was.
Good. Other than this, I need a Lethal Weapon 5.
How many years have you been saying that?
Every year?
Since Lethal Weapon 4 came out, probably.
And Lethal Weapon itself is a Christmas movie. Do you guys agree, Daniel?
Oh, I'm not answering that.
Well, actually, I'm telling you. Ryan, I'll get to you last.
Okay, I'm a bitch.
Daniel. Yes or no? Lethal Weapon.
On this extremely controversial statement, despite the hate mail that I may receive and death threats that I may receive from Walton Goggins, I just don't.
It's not. Why not?
Same reason that I don't believe Home Alone's a Christmas movie. It's what? Just what taking place.
What the fuck are you talking about?
You serious?
Taking place at Christmas does not make something a Christmas movie.
Okay, wait on me last. Okay.
Wait, so, Daniel, do you think that this is a Christmas movie?
Yes.
Interesting.
God damn it.
It's Home Alone, not a Christmas. There's like Christmas songs throughout the whole thing. There's the whole like.
I told you I wasn't. You weren't gonna agree with me on this one. You open the thing. You deal with it so now. This is your podcast. You get mad.
Everybody listening, Daniel's address is 13569 Emerald Crest Drive.
Good.
Maple.
That sounds very real. Very
good, because I'm Walton Goggins coming. Seriously.
Anyway, Aaron, how do you feel about Lethal Weapon as a Christmas movie?
Dude, I got to admit, it's been so long since I saw Lethal Weapon that I've like lost pretty much all of it. So I couldn't even tell you.
God, son of a bitch.
Yeah, Lethal Weapon is, it's definitely a much less of a Christmas movie than Die Hard. And, like, Die Hard is debatable.
Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Highly debatable. I'd say, yeah, I think it is. I used to say it wasn't, but first I said it was, then I said it wasn't, and now I'm back to saying it is again. Lethal Weapon just... That there's two mentions of Christmas, once in the middle and once at the very end, and there's like a Christmas tree that you can see kind of. And then that's it.
I don't know. So my first question is, Daniel, do you believe Die Hard to be a Christmas movie?
No.
Okay. Also doesn't make
it. No. I have a very strict thing on it, which I brought up at the very beginning of this particular podcast, which is that for it to be a good Christmas movie, it must be watchable with family. For it to be a Christmas movie, it's just gotta have some Christmas stuff in it that actually... And this is probably a terrible way to say it, but a large group of people can get together and enjoy it during Christmas, which I guess a lot of people do with Die Hard, so I kind of defeated my own argument there, but...
Daniel.
I'm looking for that wholesome crap, whether it goes well or it falls apart. It still kind of needs to be there for the Christmas stuff to go on for it. Otherwise, it can be a very good it can be a very good holiday time movie. But like I still don't think that Gremlins is a Christmas movie. I watched that the other day, yesterday actually, and I still argue that that's not a Christmas movie specifically.
I'm still really confused on Home Alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Home Alone one's pretty stretched. Like, the whole point of the movie is that family's the greatest gift.
Yeah.
I probably just hate that one. So that's very probably, that's probably just because I hate it.
Why do you hate it?
I guess I want to see the kids lose in this case, so good on Violent Night, but...
and also, Die Hard, I watched with my dad every Christmas when I was a kid.
Appreciate
not so much
that.
A kid. I mean, I was definitely like middle school and up.
Yeah. I feel like in Die Hard, where he writes the message, ho ho ho, now I have a machine gun, if you invoke Santa, it's a Christmas movie.
Oh,
sounds like something like Christmas.
That's definitely a stretch, but I like it.
A Christmas party, but you know, I don't know. There's lots of reasons that I would say that's still a Christmas movie, although not your typical family Christmas movie.
You know, I showed Die Hard to Amy like very early when we started dating because it was like that time of year when we started dating, and she hated it.
Oh. That's unfortunate, but I get
it. All right, Ian, I will promise you, I'm gonna give Home Alone a rewatch, and so someday when we have a podcast that doesn't have to do with with movies so bad they're good, we can just do the holiday camp, and I'll go ahead and I'll give you a real view of my rewatch. It's been so long. I don't know why. I just absolutely hate that movie. So maybe I'm not being fair. That's on me.
Maybe you're not. What about Home Alone 2, Lost in New York?
I certainly don't remember that any better than I remember the original.
I think it's better, actually.
We'll do a comparison then. We'll fight about it.
Yes. all right, Ryan, the floor is yours.
What the fuck are they talking about?
I don't know, man. Daniel's crazy.
How dare they?
He's officially lost all credibility.
Seriously.
Do you think that Lethal Weapon is a Christmas movie?
Yes, it is.
Why?
And the sequel to Lethal Weapon is Fat Man, because Riggs retired and he's Santa Claus. And
he's Kris Kringle.
He is Kris Kringle. And Danny Glover, who's too old for this shit, is and badass with Danny Trejo, letting us know they are too old for this.
Oh, yeah, shit. Badasses. Yeah. I forgot about that. I only saw the first Badass. That was enough for me.
That's fine. let me know that they are too old for this shit, and I believe it. After watching this movie, they're way too old for this fucking shit.
Yeah. Why is Lethal Weapon 1 a Christmas movie? In your opinion?
Because I feel like both characters are getting what they want as far as a Christmas present, which is a partner. And the idea that they both can get together and have something that they can both share with is just partnership, whether they like it or not. And the fact that Gary Busey is also in the film. I think this is something I would want for Christmas as well.
Gary Busey is the determinator of whether or not it's a Christmas film. I fucking love it.
It is.
Well, scary Busey.
You son of a bitch. Fucking Predator 2. Fucking this is Christmas.
Holy shit. Predator 2, that movie stars Danny Glover.
Exactly. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I do now.
I do too. You're stating that Predator 2 is a Christmas movie. I see the connection now.
Perfect. Yes.
It's also a prequel to Lethal Weapon.
So all of these movies are connected to the Christmas universe.
because hear me out. Predator 2 is Danny Glover is a cop who's too old for this shit. And then he defeats the Predator. And then the movie ends with him just going home. Now, in my mind, the very next day is his birthday, and he's trying to relax at home in the bath, and family disturbs him. And then suddenly, we're watching Lethal Weapon.
Damn it, Ian. So what? Okay? So what?
And if Lethal Weapon is a Christmas movie, and if Predator 2 takes place the day before Lethal Weapon, that makes Predator 2 a Christmas Eve movie.
Okay, would you live against like a silent two?
I mean, I guess Danny Glover does get a present at the end of Predator 2.
Yes. Yeah, he gets that gun.
He gets the gun from like the Civil War.
Yeah. Which we finally see again in Prey, which makes Prey a Christmas movie. And a Lethal Weapon movie.
This is getting out of hand.
Well, I have to watch all four of them again to let you know.
I think there was like 20 movies mentioned now by this point, so you might have a lot of watching to do. This could be a long marathon.
So, all right, so you start with Prey, then was Predator 2.
Okay.
Then Lethal Weapon, mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Mm-hmm. And then Fat Man.
And then Get the Gringo.
Get the Gringo, yes, of course. How could I have forgotten?
And then Payback. And then the Passion of the Christ.
Well, you probably want to start with Passion of the Christ.
And then Badass.
Oh, right, yeah, you brought up Badass, that right. Yeah, so Badass and Badasses. Alright. Yeah, I think we've got the whole Christmas cinematic universe.
The Christmas cinematic universe.
Yes. Okay, I think we gotta figure it out. Predator, by the way, Predator 1 does not count.
Son of a bitch, why did you do that?
Alright, well, let's go ahead and move on finally to the prequel, sequel, reboot. Aaron, I believe that you had a thing that you said that you were going to bring up for it.
Yeah, so basically, I think I would just reboot this movie. I wouldn't change very much. I don't know who I'm getting to replace Mel Gibson, but he's gone.
he's just gone.
He's just gone, man. And, dude, my twist on it would be that I would make the action just absurd. Like, I would do, like, a shoot-em-up type with okay. it. I think that would make this movie at least, like, I don't know, because, like, as it is, like I said, it's a good movie. The production value's there. It's very, like, kind of straightforward. But to me, it's, like, what it needs is some kind of hook. It needs to be like more different or like more outlandish. So I want just absolutely insane action. I want Kris Kringle using like Christmas themed weapons. I want like Ninja Star cookies, that kind of shit.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I would do with this film, is reboot it and make it a lot more insane.
Right. Like hokier.
But like, I'm trying to think, like, what's another example of like a shoot 'em up type movie?
Shoot 'em up.
There it is.
Yeah, that's one. Okay, so that's all you got?
That's all I got, man.
I like it. Yeah. Daniel, how about you? You got anything?
Yeah, I'd like to also do a reboot in this case. Well, not so much a reboot, just a redo of it. I don't want to see another movie like this one. I would like to replace this one with a little bit more mystery, intrigue, psychological thriller. I feel like it has all of the scenes and all of the notes and all of the characters to have it be something where we've got something of a mystery going on, and somebody's trying to get closer and closer and closer to Santa in order to murder him. And because his magic has faded, he's just going to find people dying around him. And we're going to have all of these different suspects, everyone from the bartender, the little boy, his wife, Walton Goggins. We're going to have all these people, and we're going to find out that there's this like huge just ring of people all working against him, even the elves. And everybody's got their part in this, and Santa's basically got to make it on his own again and start over by the time we're done with it, because he's got to get rid of all the people around him. I felt like this was the perfect thing because it was so dark and cast in the right way that we could have had just this mystery thriller movie where everyone's out to get Santa, but he thinks it's just one person the whole time. And Walton Goggins could even end up being a good guy by the end, in whichever way you want to go with it. Just like, he's always going to look like the shadiest, biggest one, and everybody is actually out to get Santa that's in his life.
Dude, plot twist, Walton Goggins is Santa.
Thanks for covering for me, Mr. Gibson. We're good to go back to it again. He'll be terrifying.
So the cast is the same.
Sure, why not? That's fine with me. I liked how everybody played their characters. They were good at it. I was convinced. But it could have had this interesting different focus that just like made it into something that took all that darkness and dreariness and the magic and turned it a little more sinister instead.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right. I hear you. Yeah, that sounds cool. I want to see maybe a sequel because, I mean, this movie ended with the death of the skinny man, and then Chris Kringle goes and threatens the little shit kid. But we don't know what happened to the military. Like, yeah. I mean, so I want to see, like, the next year, he actually made his money back. So he's good to go. Like, he doesn't need the military anymore. Like, he just wants to run things independently, like he already was doing. But the military doesn't want to leave now. So now, this movie, the military is the bad guy. Headed by Gary
Busey. The military is already a bad guy.
Yeah.
Military service saved Christmas in this movie. Why the only one saw that?
Well, US Army supports. So, are we talking about sequels to this movie?
Yes, we're talking about sequels to this movie. I would like
a sequel called Fat Men, which shows Danny Glover and Mel Gibson with a bat.
Of course.
You don't know what I'm talking about, man.
Could call it Lethal Weapon 6.
No. No, stop. It has nothing to do with Lethal Weapon. So, we have Mel Gibson and Danny Glover, and it turns out together they are a lethal weapon where both of them are run the North Peak of any... Yeah. It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, go on.
Very, very original.
Go on.
Oh, and it's not like that movie Badass where they're retired, but it's Lethal Weapon. And Danny Glover with a bat, and of course, Mel Gibson with his eye fucked up. They're pretty much a buddy cop movie.
Does Danny Trejo show up?
Yeah, how'd you know that?
Just a wild guess.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. But he's in the place of Joe Pesci this time. But it's not a Lethal Weapon reboot at all.
Well, of course not.
See? Thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Okay. And we'll call it a Fluential Weapon.
Fluential Weapon. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Anything else you want to add to it?
Oh, yeah. All of Mel Gibson and Danny Glover's kids.
Yes.
See?
All right, cool. I have one question for you.
Sure.
How much have you had to drink tonight?
Son of a bitch. You have one drink and you love Lethal Weapon. Here you are.
You have, if your one drink is like an entire gallon of whiskey.
Closer. One unit of alcohol.
Yeah.
Damn it, I just love Lethal Weapon.
And I love you. Ian, what about the rest of your pitch? You're getting somewhere with it. I'm feeling it.
I think Ryan said everything that I wasn't able to.
See? Oh. You see? All right.
It's the winner for the night.
Yeah. He pretty much, yeah, well, it's the exact same idea I had.
Okay.
See? See what I mean?
So let's go ahead and rate this thing finally. And we'll start with Daniel.
Oh, I don't have the thing in front of me that tells me which number or which ones they are. And I'm sorry, I'm unprepared right now.
You start
which
production, or I production. Can skip you and we can come later.
Oh, if somebody else remembers them, that's great. I'm sorry, I don't have it written down in front of me.
Well, in the words of Ryan, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. I can start with production if you remind me of the second one when we do it. Production's very high. I really love the production value of this.
Seriously, son of a bitch.
The production value is high. I like the screen action. I like the shots. I liked the action scenes. I do think there could be more action scenes. I absolutely agree with Aaron on that. It's so much of the production value is good. Acting is good. I gotta give it a solid 9, which is higher than I would normally rate something like this.
9 what?
Based on the rest of it. Oh, I would say the 9 reindeer that were missing from this movie.
Our sequel should have Rudolph. Yeah, there were no fucking reindeer, wasn't there? Yeah. Well, no, there was one reindeer.
There was reindeer.
There was one reindeer.
That's a bad number.
I think it was Blitzen or Donner.
I think it was Donner, and then Blitzen will bite your dick off.
Yeah.
It was non-memorable. I didn't see them on screen that I remember, but they're probably there. I'm sorry.
It was in the
That's
trailer.
A terrible rating, then.
Okay.
That's my 9 out of 10 terrible ratings for production.
There you go. All right, what do you have for story now?
Story, I got to give a solid 6. I wanted a lot more story. I didn't dislike the story that was there, but I wanted a lot more. So that'd be 6 shots of whiskey that I saw, or tequila that I saw Santa drinking at the bar.
Okay. And then enjoyment.
Enjoyment, I gotta give it slightly less than average. I enjoyed the movie, but I just don't find it rewatchable, and I find it a harder sell during the holidays. So I got to drop its value just a little bit on that. I want something that I can get something out of. I don't personally feel a need to rewatch this every holiday. While it was fun, I can't imagine my wife will rewatch it with me again. She liked it. But every time that I show it, I'm going to have to show it to a new person because there's not much rewatch value. I think it could be a cult hit in the future only because it's around Christmas. But I'll give it a 4 out of 10 with those qualifications. And that would be 4 out of 10 lost eyes in the movie.
Lost eyes. Okay. Okay. I mean, that's fair. And I have one more question for you.
Okay.
If you could watch this alongside any other similar movie and a double feature, which other movie would you watch it with?
Ah, fuck you.
Oh, no. Oh, well, then I'd choose the exact opposite type of movie. I'd choose it with my absolute favorite Christmas movie because I feel I could make a great double feature with Santa with Muscles. It's my favorite holiday movie. Yep. And I feel like that it would just make a good thing for, like, okay, Santa with Muscles is over, time to put the kids to bed. Okay, now we're going to watch Violent Night, and that's for the adults. And it'd be like a great double feature for a holiday party. Lots of cookies, milk, things like that. Anyone who wants to leave, okay, bring your kids home now. I'm going to put on the Violent movie now, and you all can fuck off.
So then... Wait, so you say Violent Night is a Christmas movie?
I would like to watch it during the season.
But it's not a family movie.
It's not a family movie, no. It's got the Santa in it, though. Even though they don't refer to him as that.
Damn it! You got me. Alright.
It's my terrible check and balance system that has many holes in it.
Alright, well, I'll go next. For production, I've got 9 holes in Daniel's logic. The production was great. Yeah, it was very, very, pretty, pretty good, pretty, pretty, pretty good filmed movie. I got no problems with any of the production parts of it. Parts of it can be a little cheesy, but that's mostly the dialogue. Yeah, I got no problems. Story, I like the story a lot. It's a new, interesting idea that we haven't seen before. Is it the best idea? No. But it is original, and I appreciate it for that. So for that, I give it 8 gallons of whiskey that Ryan has drinking before this podcast. And for enjoyment, I enjoy this movie probably not as much as Ryan, but probably more than Daniel and Aaron. So I'll give it 8 other Christmas movies that fall in the cinematic universe. We're talking Passion of the Christ, Prey, Lethal Weapon 2, Predator 2, Lethal Weapon 1 through 4, this one, Ryan, help me out here. What else was there? Badasses on the Bayou.
Now you ask for my help.
Yes, I've been asking for
help. He does not remember.
Yeah, so Badasses, yes. And he said something else that I was like, yes. I don't know. But that's that. Double feature. I'll have to say Bad Santa, because that's another like disgruntled Santa that hates children. So, and that's my favorite Christmas movie, by the way. Bad Santa.
100%. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Aaron, you weren't there last year for Christmas, but we all watched Bad Santa as a family.
Oh, yeah. I know my dad likes that one.
Yeah, that was fun. What about you, Aaron? What do you have for rating?
Let's see. Production value, like I said, was pretty good for this movie. They shot straight. So I'll go ahead and give that 8 out of 10 best of show ribbons for science fair projects that were ill-gotten awards.
Yeah.
Let's see. For story wasn't bad, but I think some of the stuff that we talked about tonight, like a little bit more exposition on some of the stuff and a little bit more understanding, so I'll go ahead and give that a 7. 7 times that you spike your fruit punch with sprinkles and slam it in front of a general.
Yeah, that was obscure, but pretty good.
And then unenjoyability, like, or that's what it is, right? Entertainment value or something.
Yeah,
for me, like, I don't know what it was. Like, this movie is fine, but it didn't hit me like as like a great movie. So for that, I will give it a 6 out of 10 times that Home Alone was definitely a fucking Christmas movie.
that was the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And then
I look forward to seeing the Reddit posts against your podcast on the forum there.
You're gonna cancel Daniel. Not just you, but you're gonna cancel this whole podcast.
Oh no. No, I hope not. I just won't be welcome back. Or if I will, it will be for a controversial opinion that people enjoy.
It's either like we're all going down with you, or like this will be like the rise to stardom. And then we'll have Daniel's new show of controversial opinions that make no fucking sense at all.
It's been the show I've been working on for ages.
Yeah, actually, we should make that a podcast. Yeah. Aaron, what if you could watch this movie in a double feature with a similar movie? What movie would that be?
Shoot, man, I was definitely gonna say Bad Santa, but you took that one. So
don't even try Bad Santa 2, because that movie's terrible.
I am shocked you haven't made me watch it yet.
I'm not going to. That's so bad it's a piece of
that's
shit.
That's a line you won't even cross.
Okay. Yeah, no. This is movies so bad they're good, not movies so bad that they're fucking terrible.
All right. Tell that to the City of Lost Children.
Just joking. Oh, you son of
a you son of a bitch. What would I double feature this with then?
If you want to take Bad Santa, I could name something else.
If you've got another one, I really can't think of anything like that would actually like make any remote sense. And the only thing that I can think of right now for some reason is Tim Allen's Santa Claus movies, and that's just not a good double feature. Yeah, I don't know, man. Go ahead and give tee up another one for me. All
right. The Santa Claus.
Damn.
Right. No, not the one you're thinking. Not Tim Allen. I'm talking about the 1985 Santa Claus, the one that I almost picked for this episode, starring John Lithgow.
Oh, God damn it.
Is that going to be yours?
God damn it.
Yeah, David Huddleston plays Santa Claus. And Burgess Meredith, who was in like a bunch of shit back in the day.
Yeah.
He's an elf. This movie's like that's a so bad as good campy movie, but I decided to go to this one instead. But I almost did that one. So if you haven't seen it, it's fun. It has the entire like Santa Claus origin story, and then you have like a villain that just like hates him for like no reason. It's fun. Yeah. So Santa Claus, 1985, and then so Aaron, you picked Bad Santa then.
Love it.
Cool. Ryan, your turn.
Yay.
What do you have for production, my friend?
So production is really good, especially for 2020. So and I would give it at least a 9, which is 9 bullshit I have against Daniel with this movie.
you always gotta make enemies on the show.
I know. First Johnny, now Daniel. Same time. I love Daniel.
I think, don't you have beef with anybody? I mean, there's Seth, of course.
Let's not get into it right now. Story? In a way, it's pretty original, especially with, as I said before, with it not being Tim Allen's Santa Claus and it not being a homicidal maniac like Silent Night, Deadly Night, which I love, by the way. I'm gonna rate it in the middle as far as story, so I will give it a 7. 7 times I saw Marion Jean Baptiste in this movie, which I wanted more of.
Mm-hmm.
Entertainment wise, I actually really fucking love this story. I love this movie of Santa Claus to have Mel Gibson, we're talking about he's a shitty person. This movie is Mel Gibson as Santa Claus rates really at the top for me. So I really give it a 10. A 10 times you kept texting me to do this podcast. And then I finally answered.
Okay. Nice. All right. And then if you can double watch feature. This movie. Yes, double feature.
Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, because this is my favorite Christmas movie of all time.
That is a great one. And
Yeah. Too bad you did the movie of it, you did the podcast, and didn't even call me.
Well, you know how it is.
Okay, that's fine. I accept
it. You know how it goes.
Yep.
I accept
it. Yeah, that is pretty fun. It's the if you don't know what it is, Google Garbage Day. That movie should have been named just Garbage Day, but Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, that works too. And that'll conclude this episode of Movie So Bad They Good, Midnight Cool Classics in Camp. What we're gonna do next, I don't know yet, but I do in the near future want to do the Peter Jackson trilogy. Not talking about Lord of the Rings. I'm talking about the original trilogy: Bad Taste, Meet the Feebles, Brain Dead. I want to do some other shit that I keep forgetting about. Anyway, tune in and find out. I'd like to thank everybody for joining. Merry Christmas, everybody. This was a good Christmas episode.
Yeah, definitely. Merry Christmas, guys. Seriously.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animals.
Merry Christmas, one and all.
Don't forget, squash your decks!